In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. So much could be said about the faith of both the woman with the issue of blood and Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue in today's gospel. It's a very familiar passage that we've considered many times. With both, when they encountered our Lord Jesus Christ, we can see that they were acutely aware of their need for God's healing mercy. Their humility, and I emphasize that, their humility enabled them to recognize the divine nature of our Lord. They also believed in him and they drew near to him. We see this is common between the two in today's gospel. We must not lose sight of the role of their circumstances, the role that their circumstances played in bringing this to their point of humility. This poor woman had been sick for 20 years with constant bleeding. According to the law of Moses, a woman who suffered from this illness was considered unclean and required to stay at home and to not touch anybody. So this woman who had been humbled by her illness had such faith in our Lord that she was compelled to draw near to our Lord Jesus Christ and to touch his clothes, just to touch his clothes. Our Lord immediately sensed that power had gone out from himself. And he said, to bring this woman's faith into the light, who touched me? Of course he knew who touched him. He's God. He wasn't in the dark about that. But he wanted others to see how marvelous this woman's faith was. And so he asked that question, who touched me? So he did not chastise her for violating the Mosaic law, because the law had come from him to begin with. And she was coming to him, for heaven's sakes, in humility. Is he going to chastise her for that? But notice, please, the immediate response of the divine nature to this woman's pious act of faith. He says, power has gone out from me. One might even envision it sort of in the vein of a lightning bolt. Just boom. Her humility triggered his grace and power, attracting it to her, bringing healing to this woman. The ruler of the synagogue, Jairus, even though he came from a party of the Jews which had opposed Christ, in humility approached him, hoping that he might heal his sick daughter. But while the Lord was healing the woman, Jairus' daughter died. Seeing the despair of the girl's father, our Lord said, "Do not be afraid, she is only sleeping." Of course, he was mocked for this. They laughed at him. They thought he had lost his mind. So in the presence of this lack of belief, our Lord dismissed everyone. Those that did not have a heart of belief and faith were not worthy to witness the miracle that was to come. And so only Peter, James, and John and the little girl's family were allowed to stay and to witness the miraculous healing, the raising from the dead that our Lord performed with Jairus' daughter. We can see in both of these situations, one can only imagine how hard it was. We can only imagine the suffering that each person was going through, both the woman with the issue of blood and Jairus on behalf of his daughter. Real pain, nothing romantic about it, just gut-wrenching pain, fear. And yet they brought that to the Lord. They brought that to the Lord, and he gave in return healing mercies, miraculously so. So we can see then that the circumstances of these two encounters with Christ had served to soften the hearts of both the woman and Jairus, and who knows who else. My dear friends, God is near. He is near to you. All of us have circumstances in our lives that are difficult. Every day brings new challenges. Let us remember these two marvelous examples of God's mercy and grace and how these things were triggered, were enabled, whatever terminology you want to use, by simple belief and humility. Those virtues are where we start always. We don't do that just once or twice in our life. We do it each and every day. And in so doing, we are able to turn our suffering into redemption. Suffering can actually become redemptive, helping us to come near to God. And that is, after all, what we want, is it not? Is that not the goal of the Christian life? Is to be reconciled to God, to be near to Him, to have Him dwelling within us, to become the temple of the living God? Is that not what our calling is? He is able to bring redemption to the difficulties of daily life to us. And so that these things can actually become our friends. They can actually be our teachers, as it were. They, in a way, lead us back to God, if only if we allow that to take place. We can grow bitter, we can grow angry, we can even grow unbelieving, but that will not bring us close to Him. All we have to do is humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, believe and trust in Him, and then do our part faithfully. He is always near. He loves you. He loves all of mankind. He is not a respecter of persons. He wants you to draw closer to Himself. Sometimes we tend to think that God doesn't want to have anything to do with us. How could He want to have anything to do with me? I'm so rotten, one might say. Well, that's healthy to a point, but He does want desperately for you to come to Him. That is the whole reason He came in the flesh. That is the whole reason that He ascended the cross, that He suffered the passion of the cross, was so that you could return to Him, because that is how great His love for you is. So let us submit the circumstances of our life to Him each and every day with an intense belief and an intense determination, as it were. Just like the woman with the issue of blood and Jairus. In either of those cases, they could have said, this is just too much, and just quit, given up. They did not. They drew near the Master. And because they did, they got the healing mercies of God lavished upon them. He wants to give the same to you and to me, each and every day, for our salvation, that we might see Him in that eternal kingdom one day. So let us submit the circumstances of our life to Him in humility, trusting that He loves us and that He will bring grace and mercy to us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.